We went out to shoot guns today at Mark Aldridge's, and all I can say is it's a good thing I'm a good listener. Between Mark and Joe talking, I couldn't hardly get a word in. They didn't want me to get a word in, you know. Joe actually thinks he's from Kentucky now. He's not. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter 5. It's always hard to really determine what to preach in revival meetings. But I finally just come to the place where I say, Lord, I'm just going to preach your word. And you make it stick. You make it work. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12. And it came to pass. You know, that's a significant statement. Because everything that happens in time has been ordered by God Almighty. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. There are no insignificant events in the life of Jesus Christ. When He was in a certain city, everywhere Jesus went was on purpose. What He was about to do here had been ordained before the world began. And it says, behold, something astounding, amazing is about to take place. Whenever you see that word, behold, you ought to stop and think, because a miracle of grace is going to happen. Behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And He put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be Thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. I want to preach a simple message tonight. Be thou clean. The account of Christ healing this leprous man is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It was a noted event. A miraculous event. Leprosy was the one disease that was singled out by God to show just how horrible and awful sin really is. In fact, God took two whole chapters, Leviticus 13 and 14, to show the severity of sin by the way of leprosy. The healing of the leper was a most miraculous event, because up to this point, as far as I can tell, only two people in the Old Testament had ever been healed of leprosy. You remember when Miriam spoke against her brother, Moses, and the Lord smote her with leprosy, and He prayed for her, And the Lord healed her. And then the other individual that was healed of leprosy was a Gentile, a heathen, by the name of Naaman, the Syrian. And Naaman's healing illustrated the sovereignty of God's grace. And Jesus spoke of that in Luke chapter 4. And He said in verse 27, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." They didn't like the fact that Jesus was saying that God healed this Gentile over the Jews. It says, and they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. You know where he was going to? He was on his way to illustrate his power over the disease of sin. Because he was going to touch a leper who was consumed by this disease and make him whole. The first thing we want to consider tonight is the condition of this leper. And I want to relate leprosy to sin and try to bring that out tonight. First of all, leprosy in its early stages has a very insignificant beginning. It starts out with a small scab. Oftentimes it goes unnoticed. You know, when you think about how sin came into the human race, but most people would say, well, all he did was just break one law. All he did was eat of that fruit. Sin in the human race had a small beginning. One man willfully chose to eat of the fruit that was forbidden. But how much does God hate sin? How detestable is sin that one man plunged the entire human race into depravity and sin and condemnation? But you know what? You think about how sin started in the human race by one man taking a piece of fruit that was forbidden and partaking of it willfully. By the way, Adam was the only human being ever to have a totally free will. You ever think about that? And he used it for evil. He chose what was wrong, what was sinful. From that time until now, every person that's born outside of Jesus Christ, who was born in perfection, every single one of us has a will that is perverse and contrary to God and will always choose that which is wrong, that which is sinful, unless God intervenes. Sin starts out small, even in our lives. You know, a drunkard, yes, I did say a drunkard. I really believe, folks, that all this renaming of sin and merely labeling it as some medical disorder has done a huge disservice. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's against God. It's rebellion. It's wickedness. But you know, a drunkard doesn't become one with that first drink. It starts out with a drink. And it leads to other things. Same way with drugs. Before too long, probably every state in the union is going to legalize marijuana in some form or fashion. That's usually where drug abuse starts. It's the gateway drug. It leads to other drugs. Young people, I urge you tonight to understand that sin often starts out very small, and if you keep tasting it and taking it, it will overwhelm you and overcome you. I've got a cousin raised in a good family. They didn't have much spiritual teaching in their family, but they're good people. They had a moral ethic about them. They worked hard. He had every advantage. He got in with some the wrong people when he was a teenager. And it wasn't too long before he was smoking dope. And then not long after that, he started going to concerts, rock concerts, with a gang of kids. He began to smoke meth. And he was in Pennsylvania and was in a vehicle where they had meth. They have one of the strongest drug laws in the United States. And when he was 18 years old, he started serving time in prison. He's been in and out now for almost 20 years. It starts out small. But it can wreck your life. Sin can wreck your life. Young ladies, keep your virtue. Don't let young men steal it from you. Because it can lead to terrible sin that will ruin your life if you don't guard it. Sin starts out small, but it grows. Same's true with people getting out of church. It don't start overnight. You miss a service here, a service there, it gets a little easier. You begin to justify your sin. I've seen it happen to some of the people that I would have never dreamed would ever get out of church. But that's what sin does. It starts out small and it always grows. Unless you repent of it and check it and forsake it. Leprosy could be inherited. It poisons the blood. It's transmitted from parent to child. And that's true also of sin. Every one of us here have a disease. The disease of sin. The Bible says, "For as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so that death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Doesn't matter who you are, the color of your skin, your stature in society, we all have one thing in common. We're all sinners. Broken, polluted, corrupted, undone before a holy God. We inherit our sin nature. It's always good to see babies in church. Man, I love that. You look at them little babies and you think they just look like little cherubs. Just so angelic. But you know what? They're little sinners. You know, the first time I held every one of my babies, and now my grandbabies. I know I don't look old enough to be a grandpa. But you know, the first thing that I said to my children when I held them for the first time and my grandchildren, I said to them, "Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him." I wanted them to know right from the very beginning of their existence that their papaw believed that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And that as little sinners, they needed to know Jesus Christ. Sin is inherited. It poisons every one of us. And once Leprosy, once it's contracted, it spreads rapidly. It spreads internally and externally to all the parts of the body. The disease of sin has infected every faculty of man. Your mind. Your mind is at carnal enmity against God. Your heart, the seat of your affections and desires. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. What man can know it? Your will. Your will is not some little critter that runs around outside of your being that can make right choices. No, your will is in bondage to a heart that's deceitful and a mind that's at carnal enmity against God. And that's why Jesus said, "Ye will not come unto me that you might have life." Every faculty of man has been poisoned by sin. We're defiled in our conscience, in our mind, in our body, in our soul. Leprosy was highly contagious. You see, the leper was to dwell outside the camp, and when people would approach him, he had a rag over his mouth, and he was forced to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," to let other people know that he had the disease. Sin is contagious. That's why the Bible talks so much about not having fellowship with the unfruitful workers of darkness. We're not to be partakers in other men's sins. It is important that we live separated lives from a world that is contrary to God, His truth, His ways. We ought to hate sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 16, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker," as a gangrene. Sin is contagious. Shun profane and vain babblings. You know, sometimes I think our young people think that we're just, they don't know, they want to say, "Well, you just don't understand." We do understand. That's why we're warning you. Many of us know from first-hand experience how sin can infect your mind, how it'll rub off on you. Be separate. Touch not the unclean thing. And then leprosy is a numbing disease. It's like a state of living death for its victims. In fact, oftentimes they feel little pain. Leprosy often works on the mind and the body of the person. Even though they're in a state of putrid corruption, they often have a warm and sunny feeling all over. And they're not really alarmed about the disease until the later stages. I read where you could poke a leper's sores with a needle, and he would feel no pain. You know, there's a lot of people tonight consumed with the disease of leprosy who don't even know the condition that they're in. They're numb. They're dead in trespasses and in sins. Sin has so affected the minds of men that they cannot see the glory of Christ. They're blinded from the power of the gospel. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Tonight, if you're lost and you think you're all right, you're in a terrible condition. You are not all right. You're dead. You're separated from God. You're without hope. You're consumed with a disease that will separate you from all eternity from a holy, loving, gracious God. I urge you now, recognize what you are and trust in the Savior. You know, every lost man thinks he's all right because he's not being punished at the present time. That's the way a lot of people think. Well, everything's all right right now. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And then leprosy was a hideous and loathsome disease to look upon. If a man with leprosy in its later stages would walk in here tonight, you would probably be overwhelmed by the stench. And if it'd probably make you sick to see a man being consumed away by leprosy. The face of a leper shines and is bloated. It's usually covered with sores that are like knobs, which are green on the bottom and white on the top, and they ooze with pus and blood. The hair of a leper is very stiff, and if you were to pull it hard like that, it'll pull out rotted flesh from the head. The eyes are red and swollen, and they shine. The nose is usually sunk in because the cartilage has begun to rot away, and leprosy eats away at its victims. Their ears, their fingers, their hands just begin to rot off. But I want you to know tonight, as hideous as that sounds, sin is even more hideous in the eyes of a holy God. There are so many people in our world today consumed with how they appear on the outside. How they look, how much they weigh, how strong they are. But I'm going to tell you what. If you are not healed and cleansed from the disease of sin, it doesn't matter what your outward appearance is. You are ugly on the inside, corrupt and undone. You need Jesus Christ. See, in the sight of God, sinners are filthy. They're corrupt. They're unclean. That's why men try to rename sin. Now they're trying to blame everything on some medical condition. When Tiger Woods got caught committing adultery, he came out a few days later and said that, well, I've just got a sex addiction. No, you don't. You're wicked. You're an adulterer. You have violated the marriage covenant. You sinned against God. It's much more than a disorder. It's a sin against God's law. And you're going to be damned for it if you don't repent. We want to rename sin. But that won't make it any prettier in the eyes of God. And then leprosy was a separating disease. It was dealt with by banishment from the congregation of Israel. They were denied the privilege of public worship. I remember what it was to be a stranger separated from God. I remember what it was when I was consumed with this disease of leprosy, when I was just filled with depravity and ungodliness. And I was rebelling against God. I was selfish and self-centered. And I didn't care about what I was doing to my family, to my parents. I didn't care about the example that I was setting for my younger sister. That's what sin does. It ruins you. And it separates you from God. The Bible says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It was sin that caused Adam to be banished from the Garden of Eden. Tonight, if you're lost and you keep hanging on to your sin and you die in it, it means that it belongs to you for all eternity. If you reject the gospel, how that Christ died for sinners, was buried, and He rose again the third day. See, I don't preach psychology. I don't preach 100 different ways. It's the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you die without Him, you will be eternally separated from God. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, "And you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." All poor spiritual leper, consumed with the disease of sin, you don't have to die in your sins. There's hope in this passage. Look back here in Luke chapter 5. The condition of the leper, as far as a man's concerned, is hopeless. In the Old Testament, there was no cure for leprosy. When they thought they had the disease, they went to the priest. He couldn't heal them. All he could do is confirm that he had it. That's what the law does. The law confirms, yes, you're guilty. Yes, you're sinful. Yes, you are undone. Without hope, without God in the world. Now I want us to look at the conversion of this leper. Verse 12, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." You know what? He was awakened to his deplorable condition. For the first time in his life, he was in the presence of the living Christ. The presence of God, the holiness, the excellency of God. He was in the presence of the Just One, the Holy One of Israel. The One who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I believe that God had so worked on him that the first time he saw Jesus, He gave him the grace to believe that He was the one that had the power to heal him, to cleanse him, to change him. You know what? This leper, as far as I know, didn't go to Bible college. He didn't have, I don't know if he had any verses memorized. I don't think he knew any theology. I think he just came to the place where he came to an end of himself. He knew that he couldn't heal himself. And he simply cast himself entirely upon the mercy, the grace of Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you're lost, that's your only hope. Cast yourself upon Christ. And until a lost sinner is awakened by the power of the Holy Spirit, he won't see his need of Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you tonight, if you're troubled about your sin, about where it's taken you, about the fact that if you were to die in it, you'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. If right now that is troubling you, there is hope for you. You know, he was humbled by the presence of the Lord. He fell on his face, ashamed of his dreadful condition. And I believe that when a sinner is genuinely convicted by the Holy Spirit, he sees his need of Christ and all of his self-righteousness, all of his self-sufficiency, all of his religiosity, and all of his opinions, they all are stripped away. And it forces him to say, "Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. O Lamb of God, I come." God brought this leper to an end of him, to himself. You know, to be saved, you can't look inside of you. You don't have what it takes. You've got to look outside of you to Jesus Christ. Salvation comes from above. I remember, and I think this is true of everybody that's ever been saved, when God awakens you and gives you the new birth, He gives you spiritual life that very moment, that is always immediately followed by a sense of understanding that God is holy and I'm not. He's righteous and I'm unrighteous. You see what you are and you see what you need. It's that simple. I'll never forget the day that I was saved. How the power of God arrested me. You know, when the Lord does a work in your heart, I came running. He drew me and I came running. Nobody had to cajole me. Nobody had to trick me into doing anything. In fact, the church service was over. We're riding home, 45-minute drive. Those people were Greg and Sherry Rittenhouse preached to me the whole way home. I thought, if I can just get away from these people, I am never going to church again. I'm never going to a Baptist church again. It was the first time I'd ever been to a Baptist church. We got out of the car and I should have been so relieved, but I said, it was an out-of-body thing. I said to him, "Can I come in and talk to you some more about this?" And in my heart I was saying, "No! You're free, man. Get to the car." I went in there and Greg started talking. I said, "Greg, listen, the heavens didn't open. I didn't hear an audible voice. There was no lightning. There weren't little blue birds singing around my head." I looked at him and just matter-of-factly said, "Greg, I need to be saved." He said, he kind of got a disgusted look on his face. He said, "What? That's what I've been telling you for 10 months. I said, "No, Greg, you don't understand, man. I need to be saved right now." And that very moment, I didn't care what my friends or family or anybody else was going to say. All I wanted was Christ. All I wanted was for Him to save me and cleanse me and change me. And a miraculous thing happened. He saved me that very moment. My life changed from that day till now. It's the most wonderful, glorious thing that's ever happened to me. When Jesus Christ set me free from this disease that had consumed me, He forgave me of my sin. You know something about this leper? He had an urgent desire to be cleansed. Now, he should have been saying, unclean, unclean. But when Jesus, when he came into the presence of Christ, he yelled out, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I'm dirty, I'm filthy, I'm wretched. I need you more than anything else in this world." There was an urgent desire. I believe that's how the Lord deals with people. He brings you to a place where you want Him more than anything else in the world. Once awakened to that condition and its effects, no sinner wants to remain there. He wanted to be cleansed. He wanted to be clothed with the garments of salvation. He wanted those filthy rags to be taken off, and He wanted to be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Something else about the conversion of this leper. He realized that he was at the sovereign mercy of God. He didn't rely on his free will, but rather, he said, "If thou wilt." You know how powerless your will is to affect salvation? Think about this. I work with knives a lot. I've been a meat cutter most of my life, and I cook a lot too. So I fool around with knives a lot. I was cleaning a knife the other night, and sure enough, I cut my finger, and it started bleeding. And I got to thinking, I wonder if I can heal this. I wonder that cut that I had, which really insignificant, I wonder if I can just will this to be healed. And it just kept bleeding. The fact of the matter, you can't even heal a paper cut by your own will. God has to intervene in the salvation of souls. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Will you say that tonight if you're lost? It's just this simple. Don't complicate things. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And then, lastly, everybody loves the preacher when he says that, doesn't he? The last point. I usually preach a little bit longer during revival meetings as a favor to the pastor. Now, let me explain the reasoning behind my madness. It makes him look like a jewel, man. You know, the evangelist comes in, preaches for 45, 50 minutes. By the end of the week, everybody's saying, "Man, thank God you're our pastor. Don't let that guy come back here again." So I'm doing it all for you, brother. Lastly, we want to look at the cleansing of this leper. And you'll notice that it was a divine cleansing. It says in verse 13, "And he put forth his hand and touched him." That may have been the first time in years that this man had felt the touch of someone. He had come to Christ to be cleansed, and it was a compassionate cleansing. Jesus was moved with compassion. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 41, it says this. Same story. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth His hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. How thankful I am that I have a great high priest who is touched with the feelings of my infirmities. Who was willing to come from the glories of heaven to identify with me and become a man so that He could die in the stead of this sinful man. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich. Oh, the compassion, the condescension, the love that Jesus Christ had for this leper who was unlovable and unsightly and unholy and who stunk. Reached out and touched him and said, I will. Be thou clean. Can you imagine what people must have thought who were standing around and they saw the Messiah touch this man who was incurable, and all of a sudden the cleansing was immediately. Immediately he was cleansed from that horrible disease. Jesus said, be thou clean. I'm going to tell you, that's the power of God. I have no idea the depths of sin that you've delved into, but I know this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I've seen Him save some of the worst lepers, consumed with sin and ungodliness and impurity, and change their lives forever. I'm one of them. Now you'll notice, the only person that was qualified to heal this leper was Jesus Christ. It was a divine cleansing. No other way. He had to come to Christ to be cleansed. And tonight, poor sinner, like the first Baptist preacher when he saw Jesus Christ, He said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I'm telling you tonight, look and live. God says in Isaiah 45:22, look unto me all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look to Him and be saved. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The only way that you can be cleansed is through faith in the sacrifice, the blood of Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. How thankful I am that nearly 35 years ago, God opened up the treasury of grace and poured it out on me and made me a partaker of His grace and glory. My desire tonight is to see somebody changed. All I can do is point you to the Savior. I don't have the ability. But I can tell you this. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that I should lose nothing, but raise him up at the last day. You know, tonight may be
Christ is in our midst, and it may be that He's come to this certain city. And there may be a leper out there tonight who's come to an end of themselves, and just all they can say is, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And when Jesus said, "Be thou clean," it was as if He was saying, "Be thou justified, declared not guilty, made righteous before God. Be thou sanctified. You're going to be set apart for all eternity. Be thou glorified, because one day you're going to bear my image. All of the flaws, all of the sins, they're all going to be put away. We're going to see Him as He is, and we're going to be like Him." Be thou clean. Let's all stand.